Today we're going to be speaking about the battle of your mind. If you can turn to 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. I am hoping my voice survives tonight. It's already starting to break. So, the battle of your mind. Battle, a fight or struggle to achieve or resist something. Your mind, the intellect, the part of a person that enables them to think, feel, and experience life. So we're going to talk about the battle of your mind. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Verse number 3. Once I get there, I guess. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So again, we're going to be speaking about the battle of our mind. Before we get into the passage, we're going to lay a foundation so that we stand a little bit better what we're talking about when we're speaking about the battle of your mind. We're going to be looking at quite a few different scriptures. I would encourage you to take notes and turn to them later and study them. We are going to go through quite a few. So as Christians, we're to live for Christ. We're called to live for Christ. In Romans 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So we're called to live for Christ. As Christians, again, God has called us to a victorious Christian life. 1 John 5, verse number 4 says, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Also, as Christians, we're called to live by faith. Paul said in the New Testament, Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We get faith by the word of God. Romans 10:17 says, So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1 says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith would be complete confidence or trust in someone, something. What is not faith? That would be no confidence or no trust or suspicion. James 2:19 says, Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well, the devils also believe and tremble. It's not good enough just to believe in God. The devils know there's one God. Hebrews 11:6 says, But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In the Christian life, it's okay to wonder or ponder, but it's not okay to wander or drift away. We're going to look at an example of wondering and then an example of wandering. First example is Mary, about the birth of Jesus. If you can turn to Luke chapter 2, we're going to be looking at verse number 8. And again, we're looking at it's okay to wonder, but not to wander. Luke chapter 2. Verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And verse number 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She kept the things that happened and the things that were said and wondered about what God was doing in her life. She was living by faith, just like we were. Even though an angel came, told them what was going to happen, she still had to live by faith. If you skip ahead to verse number 25 of Luke chapter 2. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Again, they're wondering at what God is going to do in the life of in their life and in the life of their son. If we can skip ahead to verse number 42, again in chapter 2 of Luke, verse number 42. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Verse number 50. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Number 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. This is 12 years later. She's still living by faith. She's wondering, what is God doing in her life and in her son's life? And again, we tend to think of the people in the Bible. You think the angel came and spoke. That's a different time. An angel showed up and spoke to them, told them what was going to happen. Well, they still had to live by faith. They had to trust in God. This is 12 years later. She's still living by faith. Now we're going to look at an example, the children of Israel. If we can turn to Exodus chapter 17, we're going to look at an example of wandering or drifting away. This is the children of Israel in the desert. God's taken them after 400 years in Egypt. He's taken them to the promised land. Exodus chapter 17, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 7. Exodus 17, verse number 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, and here's the phrase, is the Lord among us or not? So what were they tempting God with? They were saying, is the Lord among us or not? Here we find the essence of the Christian life. Is the Lord among us or not? As Christians, we have a personal relationship with God. He is among us. This question is at the core of the battle of our minds. As Christians, there are two philosophies that battle in our mind. There's a prevailing philosophy today in what is called Christianity today. That is, that God created the world and set things in motion, and he sits back and lets things happen, but intervenes sometimes. Then there's what the Bible tells us. The Lord is among us. He created us to fellowship with us, and he is involved directly in our lives every day. In the Old Testament, Job struggled with the battle of his mind as well. In Job chapter 1, he lost his oxen, sheep, camels, children, servants. He basically lost everything. But yet in Job chapter 1, verse 21, 22, it says, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse number 22, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Now remember, Job also is living by faith. God has called all of us to live by faith. So after this, he was smitten with boils. Remember, Satan came before God, and God said, hey, have you seen Job? Even though you've taken everything and moved me against him, he said, he still is with me. And Job said, well, for your own life, you won't. Job chapter 2, verse 9 through 10, he was smitten with boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. From head to toe, God allowed Satan to give him boils. And it says, verse number 9 of chapter 2, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Now we notice a difference here from the first time. In verse number chapter 1, verse number 22, it says, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Here, verse number 10 of chapter 2, it says, in all this did not Job sin with his lips. Job had the same struggle with the battle of his mind that we have today. There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. We all have to live by faith. We all have a struggle within our mind, a battle in our mind. So fast forward to Job chapter 42, verses 5 and 6. It says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. So, firstly, in chapter 1, it says, in all this, Job sinned not. Second chapter, it says, Job sinned not with his lips. Then we fast forward to chapter 42. and he himself admitted that he had sinned.
Excuse me.
What's on the outside comes from the inside. Job was a human just like us, has a sin nature just like us. Job had a battle in his mind as well. He's still human. If we look back to our text, back in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians 10, again, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Verse 5 will help us each and every day as we deal with the battle of our mind. We will win or lose the battle each and every day, depending on whether we apply the principles in that verse. Let's look at it again. Excuse me. Verse 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we need two key things to win the battle of our mind. Number one, acknowledge the battle. Verse 3 and 4, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We have to acknowledge it's a battle. Life is not a playground. It's a battlefield. It's a spiritual battlefield. Number two, so number one, we need to acknowledge the battle. Number two, we need to accept our arsenal. We need to accept our weapons for the battle. That would be the armor of God. If we turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Excuse me. We have to acknowledge the battlefield, and we have to accept our arsenal. 1 Corinthians 15:31 says, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Paul says, I die daily. We need to die to self daily. If we're Christians, we've turned our life to Christ. We're to present our bodies a living sacrifice to God, to Christ. Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. What's on the outside comes from the inside. We need to walk in the Spirit so that we do not fulfill the lusts of our flesh. Excuse me. Jeremiah 17:9. If we can turn there. Jeremiah 17:9. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Philippians 4:8. Turn over to Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Psalm 62:5-8 says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Selah. Our expectations should come from God. People and ourselves will always let us down. Psalm 62:5 again, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." In the battle of our mind, it's important that we acknowledge where our expectations are coming from. Each and every day, our expectations should come from God. If they do not come from God, we will be disappointed. 1 Peter 5:8, if we can turn there. 1 Peter 5:8. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." So as we discussed before, life is not a playground. It's a battlefield. And we're called to war, to spiritual war. 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed," rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, so we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Okay, Hebrews 4:12, what are we studying? The Bible, God's word. Why? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So what is essential to our battle, to win the battle of our mind? God's word. We need God's word if we're going to win every day the battle of our mind. We need to know God's word. We need to know what it says. Romans 12:2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We need the word of God. If we're going to live a victorious Christian life, we need to know the word of God. If we turn back to our text, again, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." It's a spiritual battle. It's not a fleshly battle. It's a spiritual battle. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Every one of us have strongholds in our lives. And I'm not talking about physical strongholds. We have those too. But we have spiritual strongholds in our minds. In our life of faith, there are strongholds there are hindrances to our life of faith that God has called us to. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. So we need God to win the battle. Through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Through God and His Word, we can be victorious in the battle of our mind every day. Verse number 5, casting down imaginations. Here's how we can win the battle of our mind every day. Cast down imaginations. What are imaginations? Things that aren't based on facts. Okay? Things that are not based on facts. Cast down imaginations. Okay? And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Every high thing. How do we know if it's a high thing? Well, it tells us right here. That exalteth itself. If it's exalting itself, okay? How do we know if it's exalting itself? Against the knowledge of God. If it goes against the knowledge of God, what's the knowledge of God? His Word. What we know about Christ. What we know about God. If it sets itself against what we know about God, it is exalting itself against the knowledge of God. It doesn't matter what it is, what imagination, what high thing, it doesn't matter what it is. If it's contrary to God's Word, if it is contrary to what we know about God, it's a high thing that needs to be cast down. So again, casting down imaginations, so things that are not based on facts, those would be expectations that you have that are not from God. So we can get expectations. We can set expectations for ourselves. We have people that set expectations for us, but we should be getting our expectation from God. So casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So not only are we casting down imaginations and every high thing, and again, every high thing is anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, anything that goes against what we know about God, and what He's doing in our life of faith, we need to bring into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. So not only cast them down, but control our thoughts, control our mind, control what we think about. We can't control thoughts, that fleeting thoughts that come to our mind. We cannot control what comes into our mind. We can control what we dwell on. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about the battle of the mind. We can win or lose the battle every day, and not just a day, as we go through the day. We can win or lose the battle of our mind based on whether we apply these biblical principles. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, controlling every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now again, any high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, in order for us to have the knowledge of God, we have to know His Word. His Word is quick and powerful. We need to know His Word. In order to live a victorious life, to win the battle of our mind, we need to study His Word. We need to know His Word. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Again, anything, any high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What could be a high thing? Something, an imagination or a high thing. Okay, you get into a car accident. And maybe we can think, oh, I can't believe that happened. Oh, I knew that was going to happen. Nope, I just knew it. It was going to happen. Yep, everything's against me. That would be an imagination. That would be a high thing. That's a high thought that is exalting itself against the knowledge of God. We can take that in every aspect of our life. As we go through every minute of every day, it's a constant battlefield. It's not a playground. It's a battlefield. It's a spiritual war. Are we winning? Are we losing every day? The God that has the hairs of our head numbered and cares when a sparrow falls and dies surely cares for us each and every day in our life. We're called to live by faith. Another verse is Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. In our mind, as we go each and every day, we're casting down imaginations, every high thing. Every high thing is yea, hath God said. But again, we have to know God's word. We have to know Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Oh, I knew someone was going to hit my car. I just bought it. I knew there was going to be a dent there. That's why I parked all the way out in the parking lot. They still hit my car. I knew it was going to happen. Okay? Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Imaginations. Okay? Whatever it is, and it's different for every one of us, it's different as we live our life. If we're trying to live a life of faith, we are going to have spiritual warfare. And in order for us to be victorious in our Christian life, if we're going to win the battle of our minds, we have to know his word. We have to apply his word to our lives. Okay, and again, we can't control fleeting thoughts that come to our mind, but we can control what we dwell on. There's an old saying, sow thoughts, reap actions. Sow actions, reap habits. Sow habits, reap character. And sow character and reap the future, your future. It begins in our mind. The battlefield is spiritual, it's not physical. The battle is in our mind. Let God's word pull down any strongholds in our life. What kind of strongholds could we have? Okay, worry, attitudes, fear, guilt, resentment, looking for approval, feeling defeated, depressed, and we could go on. We all, every one of us, have different strongholds in our life. We are called to live by faith. We are still in our flesh, though. We have our sin nature. Every one of us has strongholds that God wants to cast down. And read it one more time. Verse number 5 in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Casting down imaginations, things that aren't based on facts, and every high thing, no matter what it is, that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we're casting them down, we're casting them out immediately. If we're going to win, we have to cast them down immediately, but then we need our mind with what? We need to fill our minds with the Word of God. We need to have a preemptive strike. Okay, we should, if we're going to be successful, be ready with a preemptive strike. And what I mean by that is we should know the Word of God beforehand so that when we come to a place in our life where we have a thought that comes to our mind, we have a verse, we know a verse, we know what God's mind is on that subject so that we can have a preemptive strike in battle. So I leave you with a question tonight. Today, who won the battle of your mind? And you know what? That's, when you think about it, it's convicting. You know what? We need to give God our lives. We need to give God our minds. We're supposed to present our bodies a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable unto Him. It's but our reasonable service, and that includes our mind. We need to give God our mind. We need to read God's word. We need to know God's word. We need to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. It's what God has called us to do. We need to acknowledge the battlefield of our mind, and we need to embrace the arsenal that God has given us. We need God each and every day. We need God if we're going to live a victorious Christian life through the battle of our mind. Let's pray. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this time we can have together. I pray that you would help each and every one of us to put you first in our lives. I pray that you'd help us to live by faith and live victorious lives, the victorious life that you want us to live. Please help us to turn our minds over to you. Help us to know your word, study your word, to be able to have a preemptive strike against the devil, against Satan, against ourselves, our own flesh. I pray that you would take control of our minds. Help us to honor and glorify you with everything that we say and do. Amen.